it back. I'm a blackjack. Keep your hands off of my stack.
Greg Farrell is the president and CEO of Farrell Wealth and is a registered representative with and securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. The opinions of Greg and his guests are merely opinions. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Well, good morning. Happy Monday here and happy February to everyone out there. This is Greg Farrell, and the show is Money Matters with Greg. We talk about money on this show, and we work with a lot of different clients out there in the world that are out there as far as, actually the nation, a number of different states out there. And this show is Money Matters with Greg on WVLP 103.1 FM. We're thankful to have this show. We talk finances and money on this show. So anything to do is basically what we talk about today. We're going to talk about the stock market just because we've had a chance to be able to update you. I haven't had the chance to be able to update you on this huge correction that we've had and this move, this massive volatility that's kind of come about. Last week, we had Matt Evans from the Matt Evans team as a real estate expert here, so we really weren't able to dive into what's going on out there. I mean, it has just been unbelievable. The previous Monday, I felt like it was Armageddon. We were down as much as 1,600 points in the Dow. The volatility spiked. The fear index, which is the VIX index that we talk about so much here, on this show in regards to complacency and the overall market in, as far as investing and fear, it exploded up well over 50 points plus at one point, then sort of settled in a little over 30. It was trading right around 11, which was historic lows, two-year lows, and just exploded. We had massive volatility and failure in the market. We were up as much as we've had a 10% correction and then sort of come back here in this last week. I want to talk about that too. So literally February has been just a rocky, rocky road. We talked on the show on January 28th about some of the things to be optimistic about. One of the things we mentioned in that show was the overconfidence that we felt as though there were a number of different contraindicators to the market that were basically into telling us, whoa, just calm down here a little bit. We have had a huge run. Last year, the S&P 500 was up over 20%. And then this year, it was well up over 7% at one point. We had many different contraindicators that were telling us just to breathe a little. Many of those things are things we all need to listen to. I think everyone as an investor needs to be able to have those things that are red alerts as you are an educated investor. One of those things for me is my dear uncle, Uncle Bill. He is a very conservative investor and big buyer of bonds. On a scale of 1 to 10, we talk about risk management or risk tolerance on this show a lot. And I try to just keep it simple with a scale of 1 to 10. If one is being, I'm going to bury all my money in a tin can in the backyard because I know I'm always going to have it, even though I know it won't grow, I know it'll always be there. And 10 is go for it. I don't really care about this money. If I lose it, I lose it. It doesn't really matter. My uncle is probably a negative 2. So when he starts asking questions about the market and where we need to be investing or where one needs to be investing in equities, and just asking for opinions, that usually is an alert because very conservative people necessarily have the stomach to be able to handle an equity market move, and especially one that has been moving recently. So usually those things are sort of a telltale. J.P. Morgan. The late J.P. Morgan, when he was in his car, he was actually in his limousine in 1929 before the Great Depression, he always said that when his limo driver was giving him stock tips, it was time to get out of the market, and he did. That is typically a time when you want to be able to just be listening, be aware. I think the entire world has had this sort of drive to an obsession for returns, and it's worked. And you just have to make sure you're investigating, looking at earnings, looking at good, solid companies, and doing your homework and making sure that as you ride this wave, that you have to be willing to endure some pain as well. And that's exactly what has happened in regards to the correction. Now, we've had a really good week coming back this past week. So Monday and Friday of last week, as of Friday, February 16th, the U.S. closed higher for a fifth consecutive day. That was up 6% from the February low, when the world was falling apart and people were jumping out of windows. The return to the positive economic fundamentals sort of basically was the story. Let's look at what's going on with the tax cuts. Let's make sure we get back to the fundamentals. The big concern was what happened, and I'm going to talk about that in a second, but the waning inflation fears. There was a ton of concern about inflation fears, and the corporate earnings is certainly helping. You're seeing a ton of companies report great earnings and blowing the numbers out of the water, and the ones that are not are in trouble. So they're not things you want to be investing in. You really want to do your homework. But the S&P index for last week was up 1.2%. The Dow was up 1.2%. The NASDAQ was 1.6%. The Russell 2000 was up 1%. Interest rate proxy utilities really kind of led the sector returns. You had technology, consumer staples, all outperformed. And really it helped that the Treasury yields were nearly flat. They're still at 2.91 in and around that area. I think as long as that holds, when we start getting up into 3%, that's when we get nervous, and that's basically what happened with the market just recently. As far as commodities go, oil recouped some of its losses. That was up 1.5% last week to $61.49 a barrel. Gold was down to $13.55 an ounce. And that's pretty much it. The economic data that's been coming about is domestic industrial production is softer than anticipated, and that's versus the Federal Reserve's balance sheet. Really kind of grew week over week. The Treasury holdings lightened without a doubt, but reduction really is sort of outpaced by this growth of the mortgage-backed securities that you're seeing out there. Basically, that was last week. It was a positive week because it was just the week before was so bad. And I'm sorry that we didn't have a chance to be able to kind of review all of that in our last show. But like I said, Matt Evans from the Matt Evans Group did a great job here as a guest on the show talking about real estate. And that show will be up in podcast very soon. Once we get it through compliance, you'll see it on iTunes. So with that being said, the show is Money Matters with Greg. It's 103.1 FM WVLP, community radio station here in Valparaiso, Indiana. But then we're also on iTunes, so you can find us there. You can also find us at Podomatic. And we're working on a way to be able to get up on TuneIn Radio. You can listen to the radio station on TuneIn. Just download the app, and you can listen to live there. But as far as the shows being archived, I'm working on that. I've just submitted things to TuneIn Radio to be able to be on that platform as well. But I'm Greg Farrell, CEO and President of Farrell Wealth and registered financial advisor, and we talk finances on this show. Any way we can help you really sort of add value to your lives in regards to money. Money has so many different places in our lives, whether we like to admit it or not, and it can drive. It doesn't give you happiness, but it certainly puts down a nice down payment. So, like to be able to invest your money, help you guide you with a number of different ideas, and maybe be able to save you some money along the lines. Today, we're really just talking about the stock market. We've got a half an hour here devoted to talking about exactly what's going on in the market, and I just really feel as though we need to devote this time as much as possible to what's going on in the recent weeks. I want to bring up a report that is basically a weekly commentary that has to do with LPL Research. I tend to use them a lot. At LPL Research is a great place to find them on Twitter. And they do a great job. I've got a key takeaway and sort of correction perspectives on this massive correction we've had, because it has been a wild ride. We have been up as much, like I said, 7% for the year, and we've given it all back, and we were down for the year at one point. But, I mean, this has been an extraordinarily amazing two-year period of market calm. As much as 2016 was, with two different events between Brexit that happened in March of 2016 and the election that happened in November of 2016. Beyond that, 2017 was pretty quiet, and amazingly quiet, abnormally quiet. So the major U.S. equity markets have really slipped into correction territory this, certainly the last week. And this perfect storm of investors kind of worried about, or these worries sort of collided really into in an intense six trading days. Now, look, I'm a kind of a big fan of a correction within 6 days if I have to, even though it's tough as nails to be able to take. But I would rather have this than down 0.25% every week for the next 8 months. So I think we needed to get this out of our system. We needed to flush out and remind people that volatility, it does exist, can exist, will exist, and the market will correct. You need to be able to make sure that you have a portfolio that can withstand these types of things, and make sure that you get perspective in regards to your long-term investments. There was a number of different things that happened that basically brought this about, and they were inflation worries. They were monetary policy. They were the worry of the unwinding and these crowded, complex trades that were happening. And the result really was an unprecedented bout of market volatility that was highlighted by this 1,000-point swing in the Dow Jones Industrial and the fastest retreat ever in 9 days from a record level in the S&P index to the overall correction. So in light of all that, what happened? Where might stocks go from here? And what actions should you be taking as an investor? So what happened? Well, equity markets slipped into this overall correction. And the correction is defined as a 10% or more drop from recent high. And this has happened for the first time since February 2016. And volatility soared back then. If you remember, going into the market was up or down in January and then fell basically apart in 2016. Trading volume surged, the stock prices plunged, and this initial catalyst was higher than expected wage growth in January, the jobs report that came out. And this increased fears that that the inflation would really accelerate and that the Federal Reserve would be more aggressive in 2018 in raising rates. They've mentioned this a number of different times. They've talked about raising rates two or three times as possible. This report basically spooked the market to say, oh no, maybe they might have to raise them even more, because the market sort of absorbed this idea of two or three rate moves. Any more than that certainly will make it more difficult for stocks and for the economy to grow. There'll be a headwind. So these developments really caused the market's so-called fear gauge, which I mentioned, the VIX, and this is the volatility index, to really more than double over the most stressful points last week. And it really pushed a lot of people to be able to sell. There were margin calls that happened that also pushed. There definitely were short squeezes, which is a phrase that is used for if you are selling stock on margin and you're trying to profit from the stock going down and the stock reverses in your face and goes higher, you have to either sell it and take your loss or add to your position in regards to cash or pledge other assets in order to be able to hold on to those assets. So in that position, when that happens, you have a call, and then ultimately that margin call needs to be managed by the business close of that day. So with everyone getting called, there were a number of different margin calls as well when things kind of turned around. But this potential for higher than expected interest rates really had equity investors worried. And would higher rates slow down the economic activity? Would they weigh on corporate profits? would they pressure all the PE ratios in regards to the overall businesses and the companies that we've been following? And would they make bonds really more of an attractive alternative? These were all questions that were going on less than 2 weeks ago. So one important driver of the market sell-off was that investor sentiment had really become too complacent. And I mentioned this earlier, way too confident. We talk about on this show the over-indexes that we mentioned, the over-borrowing, the overspending, and the overconfidence. And we really did see an overconfidence. Everyone was saying, you know what, we're going higher. I need to be investing in risky companies. And it seemed like things were never going down. So too much complacency over the past 2 years, and bullish sentiment has prevailed as a major U.S. equity index trudged higher to record price gains. And this, along with the absence of no volatility, has made basically the market in what we know today. So this extended period of that low volatility has really also led many institutional individual investors down the path of crowded, complex trades, which have used leverage, they've borrowed money, and they bet on the continuing stock market piece and pace of growth. So once market interest rates and the VIX sort of suddenly turned higher, these trades, they'd sort of unwound, and this caused further selling pressure as traders needed to sell other holdings to raise cash and satisfy their debt obligations. Like I mentioned, there were calls to be able to make sure that they could hold on to their positions, and if they didn't, they had to sell out and take the loss. So that was basically why it happened. I know it sounds a little confusing, but if you're if you'd like to be able to contact me, I'd be happy to explain further. By the way, you can always email me at greg@farrellwealth.com. That's the firm that I'm CEO and president of, is Farrell Wealth. You can find us at farrellwealth.com. Feel free to subscribe to our newsletter if you'd like. Everything's for free, and I'd be happy to be contacted as well, just to sort of gab about things. If you'd ever want to be able to reach out, just email me, greg@farrellwealth.com. It's F-A-R-R-A-L-L, wealth.com. So where do we go from here? Where might stocks move? And you've seen in just the push all the way down to the 200-day moving average, which just recently happened, not last week, the week before. So I'm basically talking about the last 2 weeks of market movement. Last week, we were up 5 days in a row. We had a 6% return in the move. But the thing is we were down for the year. We basically gave up everything we had in January. So where do we go from here? What has really made many of the headlines over the past week is that economic and the profit data that have been really strong, indicating the market sell-off is sort of detached from all those fundamentals. This correction has been normal and is healthy. I keep on telling people that all the time. We need to be able to have these in order to be able to go higher. And if the fundamentals were telling us that the market was sick and anemic, and we'd be worried, and I'd be telling you that. But right now, the recent readings on the gross domestic product, GDP, and unemployment have been solid, and the reports on manufacturing and services really have been the highest in more than a dozen years. So consumer and small business confidence is also at its highest levels. And this expansion is really helped because of the tax cuts that have gone, the ideas that are coming. Government spending and improved lending environment appear poised to really sustain this growth in 2018, 2019. So we're seeing really positive things. If you want to go back to one of our shows you can see, listen to on podcast on iTunes as well, it is 6 Reasons Why to Remain Confident in the Overall Market. It was just from a January 28th show. So look that up, and I'll give you those 6 reasons. You can see those 6 reasons in that podcast and listen to. But fourth quarter 2017 earnings are really coming out ahead of expectations, and companies are providing positive guidance. The leading analysts to raise their forecast for corporate profits in 2018. And yet, the market corrected. Look, although it's unnerving and certainly worrisome, corrections are a normal part of long-term investings. And since 1980, we have now experienced 37 corrections, with the S&P 500 following by an average of 15.6 from a peak to trough through those 36 occurrences. 12 months later, however, the index made up some ground, rising an average of 16% from the low. And after 24 months, the S&P 500 has climbed by an average of 28%, reinforcing that idea, that necessity for long-term investors to not stray from their diversified strategies and really just sort of make sure that during these markets, these periods of market turmoil, that they stay focused, that they look and continue to find investments that are worthy of their money and worthy of their dollars and worthy of their wealth. So you really need to be able to make sure you're aware that market recoveries are really often a relatively long process. And these take place over several weeks or months without one clear identifiable catalyst. You don't see that there's one thing in particular. But one unique characteristic of a current environment, or the current environment right now, is that equity markets have been so strong that even though we've entered a correction, the S&P 500 still remains above its 200-day moving average. And this is an important technical support level that historically has really helped that the direction of stock prices are during these volatile times. Frequently, the index needs to fall below this level to sort of wash out the weak hands before consolidating and then really treading higher. And only one of these past 36 corrections concluded with the S&P 500 above its 200-day moving average. So you've got to be able to test that average, and that's a technical line that basically if you look on a chart, you can find. And we have. We went to it, and we bounced right off of it. If you were there, so not last Friday, the Friday before was the absolute capitulation in regards to the market. And it capitulated to hit that level, and we rocketed right off of that. We've been up 6% since. So you've really got to be able to make sure that you prepare over the possibility of the next weeks or several days or weeks that you see this index reach an average correction about 15% and possibly a bit more. Considering you still kind of see this solid economic backdrop, really have to suspect that stocks will stabilize, and that's exactly what has happened. And a good thing would be just up 50, up 25, down 25, down 50. Calm down. I think this President's Weekend and the break in the market today, and the markets are closed today, by the way, I think this is going to be a really nice help for the market. It needs to breathe. It has been way overworked, and people are tired. I think investors are tired. I think many of the people working on the street are tired. So nice to have a day off, and I think it's going to be really nice for the market to be closed. We'll see what happens here in the near future, but it's definitely going to be nice to take a breath. And I don't think up 500 or up 1,000 is really healthy. It needs to be paced and measured. I've not been happy with the recovery. I think it goes too fast, up 6% in a week. But that's just an opinion. I'll take it. Certainly every investor will take it. But you need to be calm in these times of uncertainty and make sure that you are following the plan. We always talk about on the show, make a plan, work the plan. Just like my dad always used to say, you can see from our website the quote that's up there about my dad. I always used to say, make a plan, work the plan. And that's exactly what you're doing on the investment strategy you have. You make the plan, you work the plan, and you go into good companies that you know are going to give you solid growth over time. So what actions can we take in the last 5 minutes here? What can you take as an investor as an action to make sure that the first piece of advice, like I just said just recently, is investors don't panic. Unwinding this leveraged short volatility trade is messy and confusing. And this is also magnified with the intensity of this recent sell-off. You also have to believe it masked that sort of solid fundamental backdrop, which may cause suitable investors to sell. And we encourage investors to just view the recent market correction as an opportunity to kind of reassess your portfolio, look for spots to either deploy cash or rebalance. for those longer-term allocation targets. If there was an opportunity, if you've been frustrated about not being in the market and or not catching this market or not having an opportunity to be able to own some of these stocks you've been following, this last recent correction is that opportunity. If you have a long-term time horizon, this is not a trader's time horizon. This is investing for the long term and investing in good, solid companies. So that's one thing. Don't panic. Second, really, we've been really surprised by the recent volatility, given that last year's absence of volatility didn't exist, and the market's propensity really to test this new Fed chair. By the way, we got a new Federal Reserve chief, failed to mention that. That is typically and historically, the market will always challenge that Fed chair in that first year. And then historical trading patterns really have been following in the midterm election years. You can kind of see what happens in regards to the past. But if we really believe that the combination of improving business fundamentals, the benefits of fiscal reform, the federal spending, the reduced regulation will all continue to support the growth in the economy and corporate profits for at least the next year. Now, the last thing, third, we really expect market interest rates to only nudge higher in 2018. Market dislocations really occur when rates surge. And like any recent move, the benchmark for the 10-year has gone to a 285 yield. You just have to remember the current interest rate based on the 10-year Treasury is still at the low end of the year-end forecast that we were talking about before, 275 to 3.25. So, you know what, we're right in line here, and the companies are doing great and still moving very forward in regards to what they need to be doing, and what their business of doing business is going well. So despite this equity market correction, you really see that investors really need to be able to consider reviewing all things, including your fixed income allocation. You need to be thinking about your overall allocations in regards to your asset classes that you're investing in, your diversified portfolio. You want to be able to think about how interest rates will affect your portfolio. You know, bonds have been on a bull run for over 30 years now. You want to be very careful that you're in bonds that are going to give some sort of return and not necessarily going to lose money. The Barclays Aggregate Index for bonds for the year is down a little over 3% for the year. Right now, if you're investing in bonds, you are losing money. And so you want to be very, very careful. You might be breaking even and still getting your coupon, but just want to be able to make sure that you have to be able to know that bonds play an important role in all portfolios. And these do provide sources of income. They provide liquidity and, you know, really the potential to sort of smooth out that portfolio performance during these periods of equity market volatility. But you're really going to have to make sure that you're looking for bond alternatives rather than just assume your bonds are going to be just fine. So highly recommend you're looking and you're talking to your financial advisors and your tax accountants and other professionals inside your financial team to be able to just ask the question, how is my portfolio going to react in regards to interest rates rising? And make people accountable as to ask and find exactly what's going to happen. What did these investments do in the past? And how can I anticipate them to react in the future? Because we are in a rising interest rate environment. It's not an assumption. It's not a guess. We're there. So make sure that you're investing wisely in regards to that. And again, if you want to contact me, greg@farrellwealth.com, please just email me directly. You can call the station too, 219-476-9000. Lastly, just want to be able to make sure I encourage investors to really view the equity market weakness relatively as a positive for all equity market trends. Strong economic growth, corporate profits, you name it. I keep on mentioning it, but considering these positive fundamental trends, really remaining favorable to this longer-term investing environment in equities. We're not deviating. We've had a wild ride here. It has been nuts for 2 weeks, and we're really hoping that things calm down and there is some sort of calm that crosses the markets. even before the recent equity weakness, looking forward-looking market PE ratios, which is price-earning ratios, is the, you know, basically one of the factors you always look at in regards to your companies. These all declined as earnings per share forecasts increased to levels that we believe are even more attractive for the long-term investor. So that's basically what happened. Where do we go from here? And also, what actions should investors take? I hope that was some sort of help to be able to kind of give you an idea of where our thoughts are in this recent volatility. I hope, you know, look, be strong and carry on in regards to your market portfolio and your investment portfolio. Make sure that you are being calm and you're looking for opportunities. There have been an amazing amount of opportunities recently. So be disciplined and be strong and carry on in regards to your overall long-term investment portfolio. Okay, so Greg Farrell, CEO and President of Farrell Wealth. It's a wealth management firm that I manage here in Valparaiso, Indiana. Clients all over the nation, and we're excited to be able to talk to all those clients all the time. If you have any questions in regards to the markets or anything else that it is financial, the show is Money Matters with Greg, and we just talk money on the show at WVLP 103.1 FM. If you want to call on the show and certainly support the show in any way or any of the shows here at WVLP, 219-476-9000, we'd be happy to get you a media kit. And in regards to advertisements on this station, there are a number of different shows out there that are fantastic. I highly recommend you go to WVLP.org and you take a look and take a listen to many of the quality shows that are out there. In the meantime, that's my market recap here for Money Matters with Greg. I'm Greg Farrell, and happy to hopefully I helped in some way to be basically clear and add some clarity to the recent markets. We are looking forward to the end of a February that has been gross and disgusting here in the Midwest. We are happy to see February go, especially since the markets have had well over a 2,000-point move back and forth here. So happy to see February go away. We will be here next week. Happy President's Day, and hopefully you're enjoying your day off here as much as possible. Please reach out to us on Twitter, at Farrell Wealth. You're also able to find all the podcasts on iTunes as well. And look forward to hearing from everyone soon. And I hope you have a very, very profitable and healthy week. We'll see you next week.
Greg Farrell is the president, CEO of Farrell Wealth, and is a registered representative with and securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. The opinions of Greg and his guests are merely opinions. All individuals should get their proper advice investing and managing their personal finances. Money. Get back.